بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد الحمد لله. We are now in chapter 41 of Kitab al-Riqaq from Sahih al-Bukhari, and this chapter 41 is titled Bab Man Ahabba Liqa'a Allahi Ahabba Allahu Liqa'ah. The chapter is taken from the phrase in the hadith, whosoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet that person. And this chapter consists of three hadith, and inshaAllah ta'ala, today we will cover two, because the third one is a bit long and requires a bit of unpacking, and the next chapters kind of unfold into the next chapter. There's a certain logic to his arrangement. So we begin the first hadith out of these three. Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi says, حدثنا حجاج حدثنا همام حدثنا قتادة عن أنس عن عبادة بن الصامت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه ومن كره لقاء الله كره الله لقاءه. قالت عائشة أو بعض أزواجه إنا لنكره الموت. قال ليس ذلك ولكن المؤمن إذا حضره الموت بشر برضوان الله وكرامته فليس شيء أحب إليه مما أمامه فأحب لقاء الله وأحب الله لقاءه. وإن الكافر إذا حضر بشر بعذاب الله وعقوبته فليس شيء أكره إليه مما أمامه فكره لقاء الله وكره الله لقاءه. اختصره أبو داود وعمر عن شعبة وقال سعيد عن قتادة عن زرارة عن سعيد عن عائشة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this hadith comes from عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله عنه, and he says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whosoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. And whosoever hates to meet Allah, Allah hates to meet him. Aisha, or some of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, said, but we dislike death. He said, it is not like this, but it is meant that when the time of death for a believer approaches, he receives the good news or the glad tidings of Allah's pleasure with him and his blessings upon him. And so at that time, nothing is dearer to him than what is in front of him. He therefore loves the meeting with Allah, and Allah too loves the meeting with him. But when the time of death for a disbeliever approaches, he receives the evil news of Allah's torment and his punishment, whereupon nothing is more hateful to him than what is before him. Therefore, he hates the meeting with Allah, and Allah too hates the meeting with him. So this is the first hadith. And the other hadith are similar, but there's some more detail in the third narration. And what's interesting here is that the scholars who comment on this hadith, they begin by making a grammatical point. A lot of these grammatical points get completely lost in the translation, because if you look at the grammatical point, you would have to change the translation to reflect that meaning. And the grammatical point is this. The word men is typically what we call shartiya in this case. It's a conditional. You know, whosoever does this will receive that. Whosoever this, then they receive that. That's the jawab shart, right? The response to the condition. And that is a view, that this is this men, when the Prophet ﷺ says, man ahabba liqa' Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'a. Others, however, say that it's not actually a conditional. They say that it's actually khabariya. And this gets lost in translation, but essentially what they're saying is that if you say that it is khabariya, in that it's just relaying information and it's not a conditional, What it means is that the cause, it doesn't mean that the cause for Allah's love of the servant is the servant's love to meet him. Rather, it means that the state or the quality of the believer is such that he loves to meet Allah, and Allah loves to meet that person as well. So there's a very subtle difference. One is saying, whosoever loves to meet Allah, then Allah loves to meet that person. But if you say man here is khabariya, then it's basically saying the quality of the one who loves to meet Allah is requited by Allah loving to meet that person. It's very subtle. But the majority say it is indeed shartiya, which is saying that if you have this quality, then this is what you receive from Allah. And if you love to meet Allah, then Allah loves to meet you. And if you dislike to meet Allah, then Allah dislikes to meet you. Now, when Sayyidah Aisha or some of the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who transmitted this heard this statement, their mind immediately went to death. They thought of death, that the liqa of Allah here is referring to death. And so they're thinking in themselves, well, wait a minute, who loves to die? Because Allah has given us a natural impulse for survival. It's a natural instinct to self-preserve. So no one just wants to die, right? So Sayyidah Aisha or some of the wives, they said, but إِنَّا لَنَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتُ, none of us likes to die. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified what is meant by liqa, the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and said that it's not referring to death as such, but it's referring to the state of the person at the time of death. And we don't know what our state will be at the time of death. So it's telling us that if that person at the time of their death is receiving the bushra of Allah, the glad tidings of Allah, then that person will be obviously in a state where they're longing to meet Allah, because they receive the good news that they are leaving the world in a good state, inshallah, and that Allah is pleased with them, and therefore they want to go ahead. But if they receive the evil news of Allah's displeasure, then in that moment they're not going to want to meet Allah, because they don't want to meet what's coming forward of punishment or chastisement. So what this hadith indicates is that when a person dies, the angel of death comes to take their soul, as the angel of death comes to everyone. And when the person's soul is taken, they are going to receive some confirmation about their state. And this bushra can take on different forms, but it's generally a bushra, a glad tidings of Allah's pleasure, or for people, it will be the bad news of their state as they're leaving the world. But at that stage, it's too late for a person to say, okay, hold up, let me get ready. Now, on a larger point, this hadith does cause us to question ourselves, right? If someone said, if someone asked you, are you ready to die right now? Most people would say no, for two reasons. Reason number one, the obvious one, which is that we all have this self-preservation instinct. Allah has put it in us because our purpose on earth is to be as stewards of the earth and to survive and to procreate and to create civilization and be the khulafa of Allah on earth. The instinct of survival is there, so a person doesn't have the natural impulse to just want to die. There are some exceptions though. The second reason, or the second aspect, is that when you say, are you ready to die, people say no, it's because when they take a genuine stock of where they are, they realize that actually, no, there's things that I need to either do, or I have to prepare myself in some way to where I feel that I'm at that state where I'm ready to meet Allah. Now, if we ask ourselves sincerely, if you knew you were to die in 20 minutes, ajallakum Allah, may Allah preserve all of us, but if you were to know that as a hypothetical, and you say, well, I'm not ready, well, why aren't you ready, right? Most of us would say, we're not ready because either there's obligations that we owe to others that we haven't fulfilled, there's rights upon others that we haven't yet fulfilled, or there's debts, or there's wrongdoings that we want to seek their forgiveness from, or we don't feel that we've made a proper tawbah, where we've kind of cleaned our account of those things between us and our Lord, or we don't feel we're at that state of readiness. So this is an important line of inquiry or questioning for ourselves, to occasionally ask ourselves, if I were to die right now, I would not feel ready. Why? And you figure out what those reasons are and try to see if you can address them now, so that if death does come to you, you're not going to leave with regrets. People regret all the time. You know, people who are more or less able-bodied, but then something happens where they're bedridden, maybe they have to go to the hospital, or there's some medical problem. It's usually in those moments when they're unable to do the things they would like to do that they have these regrets. So, subhanAllah, you know, even if you're healthy and able-bodied, you can still think of those things before you're too sick to do them and ask yourself, what do I need to do to be ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The first thing would be to make tawbah, right? The general, all-encompassing tawbah. And that should be the habit of the believer every single day. The mashayikh, they say, it is a good habit to always try to renew your tawbah, your repentance, every single night before you go to bed. You know, we know that, but what happens is we get busy, we forget, we're caught up in this and that, and family and work and life, and we're tired, we go to bed, and we don't do it, we don't think about it. But we know this, that you think about whatever you might have done during the day or the night, and you make a tawbah. A tawbah for what you did that day, a tawbah for everything in the past, the things you know, the things you don't know, the things you remember, the things you forgot, the things that were intentional, the things that were accidental. Just tawbah amma, general tawbah, before you go to sleep. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually guided us to certain practices that encapsulate that kind of tawbah. And one of the clearest examples is his encouragement for us to say every morning and every evening the dua known as Sayyidul Istighfar, the master dua for seeking forgiveness. We've spoken about it a few times. And out of the prophetic adhkar that we say in the morning and the evening, and there's so many of them, this is the one that you really want to memorize. And you should memorize more, but this is one of the most important ones, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever utters Sayyidul Istighfar in the morning and they die that day, they will enter Jannah. And whoever says it at night and they die that night, they will enter Jannah. And that dua is essentially an expression of tawbah. So that is one way. If you have rights that you owe to other people, then you have to figure out, well, how am I going to get those rights back to them? Even if you can't immediately return them, you have to make some plan to do so. And from this, you also get the understanding that a part of preparing for death is having a wasiyah, having a bequest. The early Muslims would sleep with their wasiyah under their pillow. That's how they were. And one hadith says that one should not let 3 days and nights pass without having a wasiyah if they have money to bequest. This is important because it's a part of preparing for death. And it's also a means of relieving your family from the stress of figuring out what to do. When you make the wasiyah, you're giving a wasiyah of up to 1/3 of your wealth to go to this one, to go to that one, after debts are paid and rights are fulfilled. That leaves the other 2/3 to be divided in the mirath, in the estate division. So these are different ways we get ready for meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what we see in this hadith also is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam corrected Sayyida Aisha, or one of the wives, who said, well, we hate death, we dislike death. He corrected her by explaining that the meaning of loving to meet Allah ta'ala is the feeling that one has at the time of death. And we don't know what feeling we're going to have at the time of death, but one thing you can do is practice the feeling. Allah has promised the believers certain things. Allah has promised the believers this bushra if they have iman and they have a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to practice that feeling of bushra, of being hopeful in Allah's reward and mercy and forgiveness, while also being fearful of his punishment, so that that becomes your lived state. Hopefully, when you die, you have the same state and you receive even more bushra. The next hadith, he says, حدثني محمد بن العلاء حدثنا أبو أسامة عن بريد عن أبي بردة عن أبي موسى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه ومن كره لقاء الله كره الله لقاءه. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whosoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. And whosoever hates to meet Allah, Allah hates to meet him. So it's the same meaning, but it's a shorter form. Now, I want to give you a couple of, a bit of commentary on this narration from some of the early authorities. We've cited before Imam al-Tibi, and you'll hear that name a lot if you consult the hadith commentaries. Ibn Hajar quotes him a lot, al-Tibi, Ibn Uthayn, and others. Qala al-Tibi, responding to the statement of Sayyidah Aisha, where she says, well, we dislike death. He says this statement, يُوهَمُ أَنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِلِقَاءِ اللَّهِ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الْمَوْتِ وَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ غَيْرُ الْمَوْتِ بدليل قوله في الرواية الأخرى والموت دون لقاء الله. So he cites another narration and says that it was thought that death is what is meant by meeting Allah, and that's not the case because there's two different things, death and meeting Allah. And one of the proofs for that is another narration of the same hadith, which adds والموت دون لقاء الله. Death is distinct or different from the meeting with Allah. He says, لكن لما كان الموت وسيلة إلى لقاء الله عبر عنه بلقاء الله. So sometimes you can refer to death as meeting Allah. It's a kind, because it's the way you meet Allah, right? There's no one getting out of this alive, right? That you're not going to get out of this one alive. No one's going to make it. Everyone's going to die. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. ذائقة means, you know, it's like death is like a, it's like a cup of some liquid and everyone has to take a sip. That is the reality. And then Ibn Hajar, he says, after citing this, he says, وقد سبق ابن الأثير إلى تأويل لقاء الله بغير الموت. الإمام أبو عبيد القاسم ابن السلام فقال ليس وجهه عندي كراهة الموت والشدة لأن هذا لا يكاد يخلو عنه أحد ولكن المذموم من ذلك إيثار الدنيا والركون إليها وكراهية أن يصير إلى الله والدار الآخرة. قال ومما يبين ذلك أن الله تعالى عاب قوما بحب الحياة فقال إن الذين لا يرجون لقاءنا ورضوا بالحياة الدنيا وطمأنوا بها. So Ibn Hajar says, he mentions the interpretation of this phrase and says, citing Abu Ubaid Qasim ibn Salam, one of the great early imams, that the interpretation is not, you know, hating the meeting of Allah does not mean hating death or the intensities that come with death, which is a coming chapter. He says, because hardly anyone is free of that. Hardly anyone is free of disliking to leave the world or to experience that final moment or the intensities of death. He says, what is condemned, what is blameworthy, is not disliking death as such or the intensities that come at the end of life, but what is disliked or what is blameworthy is preferring the dunya over the hereafter and inclining to the dunya at the expense of the hereafter and hating to journey to Allah and the abode of the hereafter. And he says, what will clarify this for you is the statement of Allah Ta'ala where he condemns or he finds fault with those who prefer the life of this dunya over the next. And he cites the ayah in Surah Yunus where Allah Ta'ala says, those who do not hope in the meeting with us and they are pleased with the life of this world, وَطَمَأَنُّوا بِهَا, basically they find their serenity, they find their contentment in the life. Because this is all they have, this is what they incline towards. That's not what it's talking about I mean, this is what it's talking about in respect to hating to meet Allah. And he ends by quoting Imam al-Khattabi, rahmatullahi alayhi, who says, "Ma'na mahabbati al-abd liqa'illah itharuhu al-akhirata 'ala ad-dunya." The meaning of the servant loving to meet Allah is to prefer the hereafter over the dunya. So if you generally prefer the akhirah over the dunya, it can be said that you love to meet Allah, not just at the time of death, but every day of your life. If that is your state, where between the dunya and the hereafter, you prefer akhirah over dunya, then it can be said that you love to meet Allah. That is a more general interpretation. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.